Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How you doing?
Jarrett Payton,
one of my favorite teammates because he knew exactly what it was to be great.
Former NFL running back.
And Payton will hit Pater. Touchdown, Titans.
College football national champion.
And so it is. The season of 2001, Miami. They are certainly the champions.
Sports anchor for WGN.
And you look back on what I went through back in 99 with my dad and his situation of coming out and telling people, well,
you know, you were always his rock.
That's what happens when he fell into my arms in that time.
That's what he's telling you when he let you announce him to the Hall of Fame.
Not only is my dad an exceptional athlete, he's a role model. He's my biggest role model and best friend.
Yeah. And you had to be sitting there with him when he came out, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's what's come pulling back to you, sitting here with me right now.
We made a wager that who would be the first one to break down in tears, and I was the first one to say that I wouldn't. And after hearing my son get up here and talk, I don't care if I lose the bet.
I think that's why it's coming around so full circle.
It just made you stronger for me, baby, that experience. So thank you, Walter.
I'm honored and privileged to present Steve McMichael for enshrinement in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton.
How you doing, sir?
JP, how are you?
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Jarrett Payton joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com is where you can go and book a beautiful weekend at Stadium Swim. JP, we appreciate you being on. And before you say, you know, you're welcome, I want to just say, no, for real, because we know that you're grieving and you're hurting and that your father left you with this great group of uncles to look after you, this group of uncles and godfathers to look after you. And we know how close you were with Steve McMichael. So the fact that you're willing to sing his praises, to be on the air with us and talk about him is special, and we recognize that. So thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Man, it's been a crazy morning for me, and like I haven't really looked at anything. I haven't been going through social that much. I posted something earlier, but I haven't listened to Steve's voice, and then coming in on that intro, just hearing my dad, and then our conversation, and it's it's been a blur. It's been a blur over the last 24 hours. Of just how my day went yesterday to how it ended, and you guys know it just got deeper, the relationship between Steve and myself, and when my dad passed away, and what I was searching for as a young man who was 19, who lost his father, and playing football at the highest level, had questions just about becoming a man, becoming a dad, and also just football. And I think 2010, when I started to play for him for the Chicago Slaughter, that first initial phone call, he's like, brother, I need you to come play for me, brother. And I was just like, man, I don't know if I can do that, man. I don't want to play indoor football. But it was God sending me that direction at the end of my career, not for the football, but more for the relationship. And I think the true growth of the relationship and what sprouted out of that was a friendship and something that was so special that I'm honored. I mean, I hear my voice on his enshrinement, right? I mean, how many people in the world that had an impact on his life could have done that for him? And for me to have that honor, it speaks volumes to our relationship and the kind of person he was. He was a great football player. You guys know, you've been around him. People that are listening right now, they've been around him. They've seen him. His voice was bigger than his persona when you saw him in person.
and his heart was even bigger. And to see him fight over the last 4 years, it all hit me. It really did hit me yesterday. I was sitting in the car. I was at a lunch meeting downtown, and I kind of knew this was coming over the last couple of days, that it could be a possibility. And I was trying to just gear myself up for it. And I got in the car, and I was on the phone with a friend. And when it hit, she said, you know, look for that picture. And I looked for the picture of him and I when I went to his house for the day that he came out to say that he was telling the world about his ALS diagnosis. And I looked at the date, and the date was April 23rd. And that's the day I went to his house. Hmm. So literally yesterday was 4 years to the day that I was with him on the day he was talking to me, telling me about compassion, that one post on my social that I posted just about, it was bigger than football, but just what it means to see people looking at him in his face when they see what he's going through and the compassion that they had for him. The fact that it's 4 years, and then we talk about a lot of fours in his life, the four horsemen, right? Like all these fours just stacking up. It hit me yesterday when I got home, and it was pretty hard to sleep last night.
It's pretty amazing that we get an opportunity here on Spiegel and Holmes to hang out with Jarrett Payton, because the listeners and us have one kind of relationship with the public face of Steve McMichael, and frankly, the public face of your dad and the public face of you. But you're letting us into the real life, man, and we appreciate it. You're always a real one. What was it like to be a player for Steve McMichael, the head coach? I mean, that sounds pretty amazing. Even for all the levels you had, it sounds like it took a step there.
Hey, Sneaks, it was the best. I mean, I'll never forget the tour that we went on. Like, we went around the media tour around the city, and we always had to make sure that we had, like, that he had a cooler of beer in the back, you know, like it was like all these things that were so cool. It was this crescendo from the top, right? From playing the high level football in college to the NFL, then to, you know, going to the CFL and NFL Europe in between there, all those things. And then coming to indoor football, and you're used to like carrying, you know, everybody taking care of your own stuff and your bags being underneath the plane, you're on chartered planes in the NFL and college and all that stuff. And then indoor football, man, you're getting on a regular flight with everybody. You're carrying your own stuff. Make sure you got your pads and stuff, jumping on 8-passenger seat vans. You know, in the NFL, you're eating at 5-star restaurants, and indoor football, we were eating at CC's Pizza. It's just the whole full circle moment of my life came for playing with him in 2010. And so it was the stories. You guys know, and everybody that knows him, he had those stories. He could sit and tell you those Mongoisms, and you would just sit for days and listen. And it was your fault if you did not take something with you in your walk of life, because he was always going to give you some type of special nugget that you could grasp and keep with you. And it's those moments. And two, I said these last night, and I just wanted to let people know. The one was when we were out west, and we were playing this game, and I had my headphones on. I was listening to Lil Wayne, and I was jamming, and I was the last person out of the locker room. And as I put my headphones down and I started to walk out, and the shower was on. So I'm like, what is going on? And who's in the shower right now? Like, this is crazy. And when you're on playing indoor football, you're playing in these small little arenas, but they're so intimate, and they just, as a football player, it doesn't matter where you play, you always have that, you have a gratitude, and you're appreciative of these places, because the place was packed in these small towns, because this is all the football that people had. So, man, I walked into the shower, and I look, and it's steamy, hot. I can feel just the hot water, and Mongo's in there, man, smoking a cigarette with a can of Degree in his hand, and he's spraying it in the air, and he looks at everybody, he's like, all right now, baby, we got to get this win now, baby, you, first touchdown, you, baby. And I'm like, coach, what are you doing? what are you doing? And I went on that field, scored like two touchdowns. My jersey smelling just like Marlboro. So, I mean, it was crazy. And then, so I'm going to make you laugh on that one. And then I'm gonna bring the softer side to him on this one, because this is the one that hits me the most. It's, we were playing in Sioux Falls, and it was a playoff game, and we were playing a team that had been together for 5 to 6 years, and these guys were really, really good. First half, man, I don't know what happened. I made this move and a cut, and I felt my hamstring pull. Next thing you know, get blown up, and I'm like, it's that moment, you know, where your hamstring, it's like Varsity Blues, where the hamstring goes, and then someone just runs and just takes you out on top and just knock. Dude, I held on to the football. I'm proud of myself. But I go in the back, and they take me back to the locker room, and doctors are looking at me, can you go? And, man, I was crying, bawling my eyes out, because I was like, nah. And I was already made my decision that this is probably going to be it. If we don't win here, like, this is the final season. I'm done after 2010. Well, Steve came in, left the game, came back by me, and when he came around the corner, he had tears in his eyes. And he was bawling. As I was bawling, he was bawling. And when I was like, I don't think I could go, and I couldn't get the words out of my mouth to be able to say it, because he was bawling. And talking to Misty, she said that, like, she's only seen him cry once, and that's when their daughter Macy was born. So she'd never seen him cry other than that. And so to have that moment with him, not have my dad there at that time, but to have him there and him to know what the game means, not only to him, but also to me, and that this was it, man, that was one of those moments that that I keep thinking about. And it's what I've been thinking about over the last couple of days now.
And it's fair for you to be reliving some of those beautiful moments. And I like that you're sharing it too, JP, because the joy, like, whenever you go to a memorial service or a funeral, I always find that those are my favorite parts of them. That when we do spend the few minutes to go, hey, remember when this happened, or remember when this person said this? I think there's such a, people can connect with that through you, so that they can get the duality of what we're talking about when we're talking about Mongo. And it's beautiful to hear it. And from your perspective, you've been dealing with a lot of loss lately. So to hear you smile through the phone telling those stories is outstanding.
Yeah, man. Yesterday was very tough. So I got in the car and started driving out to where he was in Joliet. And once I got there, I mean, I got a chance to be able to spend, I was there from about 4 o'clock up until when he passed away at 5:28. And I was literally there on his left side of the bed, just standing there. We were talking with everybody that was in the room, all the people, family that were there, and he could hear us. He heard my voice as soon as I walked in. He knew he could hear me. He couldn't look my way, but I had to come around his side of the bed so he could see me. But he knew I was there. He heard my voice. And it was those moments when everybody kind of left the room for a little bit. I got a chance to tell him just thank you. Just thank you for being that uncle, being that person that was there for me. And I said, if you would have told me back in, back in 99, that when my dad passed, that you would be one of the people that would keep up with me and that would be texting me and that would call me and check in on me, I would have told you, you're crazy. Not Mongo, not the crazy one. And he was. And I said, I'm just very appreciative of that. So I got that time, and I'm glad that I was there. I really am. I'm glad I was there. Fought through traffic to get there. I was nervous, but I just didn't know. And my dad always said, you know, the quote that we have around my house in my workout room, all over, there's at least 5 places around the house that it says, tomorrow's promised to no one. And I didn't want to wait, because if I didn't go yesterday, I was planning on going today. And if that was the case, I would have been late. And so I got a chance to be there and see him. And man, it was, you talk about heavy. Yesterday was a heavy, heavy, heavy moment. And I thought about it, and I know Shane's listening, and Shane actually texted me soon as I, not, and Shane, I'm just saying this, is that Yeah, you and I had our conversation yesterday, man. You know how much I appreciate you. But it made me think about this moment because I had to go to work. I left there and went straight to work. I didn't go home. And it made me think, like, yo, you have to go talk about him. And because there are people, other people that are grieving who love Mongo and want to hear those stories. And they're having a tough day. And you got to go and be there. I didn't text Shane right back right after, like when I got there. He didn't know where I was at either. So by the time I got there, him and I connected. And I said, man, I want to come on today with the guys and talk about Mongo and celebrate his life, because that's what we have to do. And it just was the same way that I do with my father. Every single time, I'm going to do the exact same with him. And I told Mongo, I will always have him in my heart, and I will always give him props, and he will always be posted all the time, because rightfully so, he means not only, you know, the world to me, but he also means the world to our Bears family and the people here in Chicago.
Brotherhood is a thing that I think makes it easier for men to emote, and seeing that brotherhood. And I'm honestly like getting a little teary eyed thinking about this, because I didn't know your dad well, but I knew him a little bit because it was one of the first jobs I had here at the Score, was working on his show. It's one of the greatest honors of my career. The promise that those men made to your father, and the fact that they stood by that promise to help you become the man that you've become, I am indebted to them as someone who is your friend, and I just think that it's a beautiful story of brotherhood that they kept their promise to him to be there with you and the family.
Yeah, man. It's I can't even really say anything, Lawrence. I mean, you think about it, right? My dad's been gone since 99, and all those guys, anytime I need them, anytime that I pick up the phone or call them or I need them for something, they're there for me. And it is a special, special bond. And I'm lucky that the correlation between my pops playing on that team and me being on that 2001 Hurricanes team, like, it's the same exact thing there. If I need any of those guys. So it's something about the game of sports that, especially the game of football, that is the brotherhood there and what you have to do, and all 11 guys like being on the court and working together and figuring this thing out and doing it as a team, and what it takes to win a championship, and the greatness that comes from that. And as we embark on tonight with the draft, and we think about, you know, Ryan Poles and what they've done. I mean, look how tough it is when you look at the guys that have gold jackets from that 85 team. And they're not trying to compare, but to be great, like, you have to find a way to be able to get it right with special talent. And that's through the draft. That's what they did with these guys. Like, they found a lot of these guys through the draft. And so tonight, as we embark on this, man, like, I know we're all looking towards the future. Mongo gives us an opportunity over the next, couple of weeks, and to really think about the times, think about him, think about his family, keep them in your prayers, and everybody here in Chicago know, man, his family definitely needs our prayers at this moment. Macy and Misty and all of Steve's family, his brothers and sisters, they're all grieving as well. And so, my heart is with them, and it will always be with them.
It's lovely stuff, man. This town knows about the defensive line and the importance of the defensive line through Mongo and Hamp. And some people go back further than that, obviously. But it's like, in an off season where they've loaded up on the O-line and the D-line, it kind of feels nice to be thinking about the point of attack. And I'll tell you what, man, if Mason Graham is there tonight, let's add him to the point of attack on defense. What do you think, JP?
If he is there, that would be lovely. I mean, you're talking about really, truly adding a player that you can have for the future. I also look at the way that they set themselves up, though, through this offseason, where now it gives them an opportunity to be flexible at 10 if they stay at 10. I don't foresee them moving up. I know this Ashton Jeanty stuff has always picked up steam. I think about Ben Johnson and what he truly wants. I would be okay with going offensive line. Why not keep solidifying your offensive line? If you don't feel that Braxton Jones is truly that guy, then go solidify the, a tackle position. But with Ben Johnson now, it's everything's picking up steam. The odds are telling us as well. The best odds are these two tight ends that could be that are there. I mean, I wouldn't be upset. But I'm always about understanding that dominating the line of scrimmage is where you you have an opportunity to win championships. And I also think that I love Ashton. I think he's awesome. I don't think he's going to be there unless you move up to get him. But there are some good running backs, Travion Henderson, those guys. I mean, you got some other options to be able to add if that's what you want to do on day two. So Poles and them are in a good spot, and I'm excited to see what they do. I probably won't be mad at anything that they do tonight. I think they have an opportunity to be able to truly make a splash and have an impact player. Hopefully that can be a foundation piece for the future.
Jared, sincerely, thank you for the time today. We appreciate it.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys. I told Shane, you guys are at the score. You guys are family, man. We've been a family for a long time. And so I know you guys are thanking me, but thank you for giving me an opportunity to this is kind of like my therapy. I feel like I'm just talking to you.
Yep.
But now that my phone is buzzing now, I feel like there's so many people that are listening right now. So Chicago sports fans are like my therapist as well. I appreciate all you guys.
Yeah, man, you could send that $20 copay via Venmo right to Spiegel and Holmes. All right, man?
You guys are the best, man. Have fun tonight, man, and hopefully we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Jared.
That's Jared Payton, JP himself, and I'm glad that he shared as much as he did. I knew Mongo a little bit, but I mostly knew him through Hamp because, you know, Hamp and I were partners for a little while. And
those guys were bandmates.
Yes.
At the time you guys were partners, were they still bandmates?
Oh, yeah.
Chicago Six playing out?
And the beautiful thing is that, you know, when Mongo got sick and he was mostly bedridden, they would go up there and play. And I think it was actually Pompey that actually wrote something about it. And I texted Hamp and I tell him that I thought it was great. And then I ended up running into Hamp. And, you know, we used to joke that we basically look like Yogi and Boo Boo. Like, that's who we look like.
You carried the picnic basket?
Yeah, like, that's what we look like. And I saw him over at NBC and I hugged him. And I was like, man, it's a lesson in friendship, the way that you would go and play for Mongo. And he said to me that it wasn't just for Mongo, that it was for him too, that was something that they shared, and it's something that he wanted to continue. He wanted to bring the joy through music because they loved it and they shared in music so much. And so I mean, I'm thinking about Hamp today too, because of how close they are.
Oh.
And one more quick anecdote on this. So when Mongo ran for mayor of Romeoville, Hamp asked me about it because we were doing the show at the time. And he's like, hey, partner, you know this guy that he's running up against? I said, actually, yes. I went to college with John Noak. And I said, knowing his ambitions and his skill level, I was like, Mongo's in trouble. And Hamp's like, you're kidding. I was like, no, partner. I am not kidding about that. And I believe John has been mayor of Romeoville ever since.
Oh, man. That would have been your moment to come up with some dirt about John Noak and bury his candidacy to ensure Steve McMichael would get a mayorship.
Hey. He is still the active mayor since April 7th of 2009.
What kind of Bears supporter do we think Lawrence Holmes is for failing to bury the candidate trying to keep Steve McMichael from a job?
He looks like a nerd.
He's a really good guy. He has a lovely wife. We were RAs together. All three of us were RAs together.
Narcs.
So, you know, I have loyalty going in a lot of different directions.
I understand.
On that one.
You, John, and Mongo were RAs together at the Paul?
Mongo after,
be the best.
After he was done, he came and he RA'd over at University Hall at DePaul.
Hey, brother.
Oh, the best RA ever.
Teaching kids how to hide kegs.
Who was that, Shane?
Sorry about that.
Apparently Hulk
Hogan. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's on me. Hand up. We've been watching videos back.
Come on. Tandy, were you okay with my hamp, though?
You know I was laughing back here. Yeah, I thought maybe you'd be playing the piano simultaneously to really drive the point
home. You got to make your fingers super crooked. How do you make your fingers crooked?
Hey, but here's the thing. And because at the time, Hamp had had surgery, and so he was doing the show from home. And then we'd be in breaks, and you know the producers would have him in queue, and he'd be playing the piano.
Oh, that's lovely.
He's a really incredible dude. So, you know, shout out to Hamp. I'm thinking about you, partner. Thinking about you for sure today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to get into the weeds on the draft stuff. Spiegs and I are going to walk you through some things.
It's draft day, man. They got to make a pick tonight. It's going to be a good night of TV. Thank you, MLB scheduling gods, for giving us a Cubs off night as well.
Yes, that is a treat right there. Bears talk on the draft next on the score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Four.